You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, welcome to CarCast in Edmonds. I'm Matt D'Andrea here with Alistair Weaver. Today's an exciting day for you guys. Online on social media, it's a big Edmonds day.
Have you been following my entertaining morning?
I woke up this morning to a fairly positive tweet. I guess we're still calling it. I don't know what X is. What do they call the action item? Do you X something or do you tweet something? But I saw a very positive looking tweet from Edmund saying Tesla Cybertruck. We got our hands on one. It was comfortable. Overall, we like it. Kind of missed the range estimate. And now I look on the website and I'm like, kind of didn't miss the range estimate. We'll explain why. So that's about as much setup as I could put forward, but you're going to have to explain what's going on here. And what's your thoughts on Cybertruck? Now that you got your paws on it, what's going on with Cybertruck?
Yeah, I spent most of the week in the Cybertruck. So should we start at the beginning? Mm-hmm. So as you know, because we talk about it enough on the show, we've put like huge effort behind the Edmunds EV range test. So every EV that we get into building goes off around this range test around Southern California, and we've done about 100 vehicles so far. Got our hands on the Cybertruck, and we wanted to do the first proper independent range test and efficiency test of the Cybertruck. And the efficiency test is also quite important because, A, that's how much you're going to spend to run this thing. And also, Tesla's made some pretty outlandish claims about how efficient it was relative to some of its rivals. So we wanted to dig into that a little bit. But anyway, we looked at, there's no EPA rating yet for the Cybertruck. But Tesla had their own figure, which for all the research we could do and all over their site, 340 miles. So off we go. And we didn't hit our, and ultimately hit the 340-mile, we didn't hit the 340-mile range. We actually achieved 334, which we thought was really good. And we also made the point that it didn't have the correct wheel caps because there's been a problem with them. Tesla's needing to update them. And we actually come out and acknowledge that had it had that aerodynamic part, then likely it may have hit Tesla's range figure. Now, the reason this gets controversial is because every Tesla we have tested to date has never hit its EPA estimate. And there's a reason for that. It's because Tesla uses something called the five-cycle test, whereas most manufacturers like Ford use the three-cycle test. Sorry, the two-cycle test. The two-cycle test. And I could get very geeky about all the details, but basically they self-certify and the five-cycle test tends to give you a better result. But the problem is, in the real world, you rarely achieve the numbers. So every Tesla we've ever tested didn't hit its EPA. And here we were saying that we don't have an EPA number, but actually this is a pretty good result because we got pretty close to Tesla's own estimate, which tends to be on the more optimistic side. So we confidently published the piece this morning. All was well with the world. And then somebody with a big following, a guy called Merritt Sawyer on Twitter, or X as it now is, came out and said, well, you're wrong because it's 380 miles because you were on the all-terrain tires. So cue lots of internal phone calls. And of course, like the first thing that you do in this instance is, because, you know, we get this a lot. We built this big social following. We built this reputation around testing EVs, particularly Teslas. So everything that we publish now gets a lot of attention. So in some ways, it's quite flattering that we've reached a level where people care about what we say. Anyway, my phone goes, I'm driving my daughter to school and you better have a look at this. And then, like, you know, we internally, you sort of go into what, you know, traditional kind of media management. The first thing you do is say, are we wrong? Because lots of people say things all the time. So the first thing you say is like, what's the evidence here? Are we wrong? So we started digging into it. And if you look at the Tesla website and you try and specify like a dual motor car, which is what we were driving, it just says 340 mile range. However, we then started to dig a bit deeper. And this, the car that we were driving was a foundation model, which was like a limited edition run of what other manufacturers would call a first edition car.
Right.
This was supplied on these all-terrain tires. And if you ordered one, when you ordered one, the website said 318 miles, but you can't find that anywhere now because they're no longer selling it. So at which point we're like, okay, we just, you know, we, this sort of information was not available to us. And at the time, Tesla doesn't have a press office, as we talked about a lot on this show. So you've got nobody really to call and say, just want to double check. Because, you know, we have these conversations in the office, like, what tires is this on? This is, what's the rolling resistance? You know, we've done a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So in the end, we said, all right, you know, we went out on Twitter and we just said, okay, thanks for the additional information. And we just amended the story. And if you go on to edmunds.com/news, you'll see the amendment that we made, you know, and actually it's been kind of interesting because you imagine, yeah, there's a bunch of people. I mean, you were laughing as I came on the show. There's a bunch of people like enjoy you making, you know, there's still a thing happening, but actually most people across all our social channels have said, you know, thanks for issuing the correction. You know, appreciate you doing that. And
clarification, which is no longer for sale, came with the different tires. But you also did say you came very close to the claim 340 miles and you didn't have the right like aero hubcaps that Tesla's supposed to be redoing or something. And now, so
that's right, because they've basically been, you know, they've been having a problem with them. They're going to update them because it was basically, I think it was actually impacting on the tire itself. So we recognize that would probably have a bearing on the, well, would have a bearing on the range figure. I mean, the Edmunds EV range test is something that we spend like a extraordinary sum of money on. I mean, we've even gone to the extent we have a little gadget in the vehicle made by a company called RaceLogic, but we had some proprietary software made for this gadget, which basically manages how we drive the vehicles. So if you're driving for 12 hours or we're sharing drivers, we make sure that we are apples to apples in how we drive the vehicles.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time and effort. And we're actually about to relaunch our video at the beginning of, as you're listening to this, maybe on Monday, the video should be live again, where we talk about how we did the range test, what it looks like. So interesting times. And, you know, what we're going to do is when we get another vehicle on perhaps all season tires rather than all terrain, we'll go back, repeat the test. And if it's on the right wheels as well, we'll do the same thing. And this is something that we do. If you look down our range leaderboard, if you go to edmunds.com/range, there's about 100 cars there. You'll see there's different trims for different vehicles and quite a lot to sort of dig into.
And then what's the feeling on, I'm going to go to that range page, by the way. How do you like it overall? There's the range issue, which we were close and you fixed it, and I get that much, but tell us about the Cybertruck.
Just to finish up on the range thing, the range is good. I mean, like a score of 334 miles is good. What it's not as good as, if you look at the immediate competition, a dual motor Rivian R1T, 390 miles. So that's what, 60, nearly 60 miles more than the Tesla. And then the F-150 Lightning, a little more at 345 miles. So the Tesla did well, but it didn't necessarily do as well as its direct rivals. And also Tesla's been making big claims about efficiency. I was watching a Leno video and, you know, their chief designer, Franz, was coming out and say, oh, you know, we can be twice as efficient as some of our rivals. Well, our figures show that that's actually not the case. And that the Rivian and the Lightning were a little bit more efficient, but they're all a kind of much of a muchness and around efficiency, and they're all big, heavy trucks. So if you buy a Cybertruck, it's going to cost you twice as much to run as if you buy a Model 3. I mean, it would be if you're talking gas, but you know, it's worth bearing in mind. So what do we think of it overall? Well, I was there in the fall of 2019. I don't think you were there, Matt. Were you there that night at SpaceX? So I was there on the famous night where, you know, they threw the ball bearings at the windows and everything smashed, and it was all a bit surreal. And, you know, the whole evening was just bizarre because this, you know, it started off, it was like, we're going to revolutionize the truck market. This is going to be the Model 3 moment for trucks. Here's a Ram, here's a Chevy, here's a Ford. We're going to beat them all, blah, blah. And then the Cybertruck appeared. And I was just like, right, when are they going to show us the real one?
Yeah. And
even at the end of the evening, I remember it really well. Like Elon like went on for hours and then eventually kind of wandered off stage right. And or stage left, my right. And I'm even then thinking, like, surely, like, is something going to happen? You know, is there going to be like a bang or explosion, a bit of smoke? And like, you know, it almost felt like the Cybertruck that we saw was going to like be a Russian doll and it would suddenly explode and become the real truck. Because everything they talked about gave you the impression that actually this is just going to be a sort of Model Y in truck form. And if you think about it from a business perspective, it may have been radical when it came out, but now the Model 3 and the Model Y are just inherently sensible electric cars. There's nothing particularly radical about them. They're just well-executed, nice electric cars. So it was like, what the hell is this? And how the hell are they going to build this? And is it going to really cost 40 grand and be available in 2 years' time and do 500 miles? And of course, the reality was, no, it wasn't. It's taken, you know, best part of 5 years. It's twice as expensive as they originally said. It starts at the moment at 80 grand as a cheap one on the way. And then, but it's never going to be 40 grand and it doesn't do 500 miles and all the rest of it. But the reality is, like, 5 years old, we have something which looks pretty much exactly the same or almost exactly the same as the truck that I rode in that night. And it's super easy to be cynical about it because it's quite silly. But I really liked it. I just thought this is just like, you know, we live in a world where everything's got a bit kind of sensible and normal and a bit boring. And I just, it's a rock star. I just thought this is, you know, it's too expensive. It's a bit big. Lots of things are a bit silly. There's definitely occasions where function follows form. But like, it's fun, you know, makes the world go round.
That roof line above the cabin, it really kind of peaks up high, but it has such an angle on it. Is it roomy inside? Is it comfortable inside? Can you see out of it? I assume you can see out of the front, but maybe not the back. There's got to be just some kind of camera.
So the front, because the windscreen kind of starts over your head and then runs in a straight line and then joins the hood and basically goes in a straight line to the V before at the base of the car, you can't see the nose. So you're then reliant on, so it's not like a traditional truck where you can see the corners. You can't see the nose. So, and the bottom of the windscreen is, I don't know, 5 feet away from like the steering wheel. I mean, you could almost camp on top of the dashboard. It's that big. It's like one of those beds in an RV. So that takes a bit of getting used to. But the visibility, they've got big pillars, like big A pillars around you. But because you've got like an extra triangle window that you kind of look through as you're turning right or left, and you've got a bunch of cameras, the visibility forward is okay. And then on the rear, if you have the tonneau cover down, the tonneau cover up, you can't see anything. So you're reliant on a camera. There's literally no rear view. If you have the tonneau cover down, then you've got this really small rear view mirror, which looks like it's just there for the legals, and you can't really see anything through that either. So you're reliant on looking at the image on the center screen. Now, this is one of the bits that I don't, you know, Tesla's obsessed with having one screen and everything on it. If you're driving along and you're wanting to look at the rearview mirror, now, yes, we're used to looking like up and right, but why not just have it on a little screen in front of you so you could see what's going on behind you as you're looking forwards? And also, because of the blind spot monitoring, when you turn left, the blind spot camera shows in the middle of the screen. So you sort of get ready to turn left, but have to look right, which is really weird and takes a bit of getting used to. And it'd just be so much better if you had like a little, you know, like a little secondary screen in front of the steering wheel, but they seem to be almost like dug in on this point. But the visibility is not like the drama that you might think. You've got this little squircle, I think they're calling it. Is it squircle or yes, squircle steering wheel. So, but the really interesting thing, and I think this is the thing that stands out more than anything else about this, it has drive-by-wire steering. Now, we've seen this before, but this is the first time you haven't had a mechanical redundancy as well. So they're wholly reliant on drive-by-wire. Now, at first, there'll be a lot of people going, oh my God, that's like a huge safety concern. So the reality is airplanes have had this, as you know, for decades. So it's not such a big, you know, it doesn't feel like such a big drama. And what it's allowed them to do is have really aggressive variable ratio steering. So the first time we got into it was in our car park in the office, put a little bit of lock on, and it's like, whoa, we nearly hit the wall. Because if you're at a standstill, lock to lock is literally like a Formula One car at Monaco. You don't turn your hands over. It's just if you're watching the YouTube, it's like there to there, and that's it. Because the variable ratio is so aggressive, then at highway speeds, you know, you go back to what you'd call like a normal steering lock.
That was kind of the flaw when the yoke came out in the Plaid. You're going, you can't go hand over hand with a yoke. And people are like, I don't know, they put a yoke in an Indy car. It's like, yeah, because they only turn about 90 degrees. So yeah. Tesla kind of figured out you have to have this wildly aggressive variable ratio steering. So if it's low, you have to be able to turn completely like this and not go hand over hand like you're talking about.
You know, and like you can only do that with genuine drive-by wire. Right. So the great irony now is a yoke, I'm not saying I want one, but a yoke in a Cybertruck would make far more sense than a yoke in a Plaid, where it makes, people who see my video, makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
But they put this squircle, but largely they were saying, oh, it's better if you're going off-road, you might want to like grab the wheel in different places. Actually, it works fine. But it is sort of slightly odd to have like a really small wheel in such a big truck. And there's been lots of people like saying, oh, it drives like a car. Well, it doesn't, you know, it's on 35 inch tires
with a little bit more of the off-road tread on the tire.
This is the foundation, and that's how it was supplied. Yeah. It's fancy Goodyear all-terrain tires. So they're all-terrain tires, but built for low rolling resistance. They're quite a sophisticated thing. But it drives, so it doesn't drive like a car. You know, you're always conscious this is a big, heavy truck, not as heavy as a Rivian or a Lightning, which is quite an achievement given the stainless steel, but it's still a massive, almost full-size truck. It's shorter than an F-150, but lower and wider. So it's as wide as a Raptor. So it's like you've got to mentally compute that. It's a wide thing. But the ride quality is amazing, like really, really good. It's super stiff, air suspension, and considering like it's on off-road tires, it's really impressive. And of course, we just drove the two motor version, which is 600 horsepower, not the tri-motor, but it's still like faster than you need any huge truck to be. So it's really fast. It's really refined. There's not a lot of tire roar or anything. The ride quality is excellent. It's pretty maneuverable because it's got four-wheel steering. You know, to drive, it's great. I enjoyed it more than I sound like a thing. I enjoyed it far more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
You know, it works. It's really well engineered. And the other thing I should say, actually, because we've been really critical of this in the past, it's well built as well. Like, you know, some of the stainless steel doesn't quite, you know, line up and things like that, but the fit and finish inside, it feels really solid, which is not something you could say of like early Model 3s.
Yeah. There's been a few issues with the stainless steel that have been popping up more. There's been a little bit of staining, a little bit of like surface rust marks, and there's some ways to clean it. And Tesla. Yeah, the guy has a recommendation for it, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I get it because wrapping it or doing a PPF or something like that is all pretty expensive, but you know, not really that expensive considering the price of the vehicle. You know, like you said, if it was $40,000 like it was supposed to be, I would hesitate spending, you know, thousands of dollars more on a wrap or the PPF or something, because it just doesn't make sense financially. But you're into the truck for almost $100,000, you know, certainly north of $80,000 for whatever the base version is. Yeah, I guess you can wrap it or PPF or something.
I think it's going to really just see what people do, because that was our big reservation, you know, about how, you know, also like fingerprints, you know, you lean on the hood and suddenly your fingerprints are there. And this was not a vehicle from Tesla. This is a vehicle we sourced from an individual, and it was like, oh, please don't clean my car. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So there's all these like little eccentricities that come with it, but you know, it's really spacious inside. There's plenty of room in the back. You know,
how about the bed? How is it as a truck?
So the bed is a little bit longer than an F-150 Lightning's, but it's compromised a little bit because you've sort of got the recline of the rear seats sort of impact on the bed a little bit. So it's not a square bed like it is in the Ford or the Rivian for that matter. So you're sort of compromised a little bit there. But it's still a big usable bed, and of course you've got a suspension so you can jack it down to load stuff into. Because of the shape of the vehicle, you've got issues, you know, if you're trying to load stuff over the side. I mean, I'm 6'4" and I've like ridiculous arms, and you know, it's a bit of a stretch for me. But again, like, these are things that you can wear. It's got you know, you got different options of tying stuff down. You know, the front trunk, that's smaller. That's like, you can get like an overnight bag in there, but it's not as big as like the Lightnings.
Yeah.
But it's still reasonably usable. But it can, you know, it's not, it is a truck. It has like a 6'2" bed, which is a little bit compromised, but not massively compromised.
The companies like Chevy and Ford have been doing trucks for a long time, get pretty creative with the tailgate and steps to get in and multiple ways of opening it. And it lays flat, it opens on the side, and there's a step that comes down, and try to make the bed as accessible as possible. If you can't really get stuff over the side of the bed of the truck because of the weird shape of the truck, what about getting into the back of the truck? Are they doing anything with the tailgate or any steps or anything like that to get in like the other?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Coriant provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Coriant has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Coriant has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Coriant has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
No, because you know, like an F-150, well, you know, has that nice, that cute little step that comes out. Yeah. It's like the old man step, isn't it?
Yeah, with the
little
and I handle. Have to use it because I'm tiny, so I got to use it all the time.
Yeah, so you need to work. If you go buying a Cybertruck, you need to work on your upper body strength, because you're going to have to kind of like, you know, like getting out of a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, the Lightning, as you know, doesn't have a suspension, so you can't lower the ride height, whereas the Tesla does.
Yeah.
So actually, if you drop the ride height to like an entry level mode, then it becomes a lot easier. But yeah, I think they missed a trick. They haven't got any, you know, there's no like cup holders in the back. There isn't like something for measuring. And there's a few little like working truck things that are kind of cute in the Ford that it doesn't, that the Tesla doesn't have.
And the power outlets and stuff. I don't know if it has that.
Yeah, it has 240. It has 240. It has a couple of 110s in the back. Doesn't have an air compressor like the Rivian. It also has a like a an under bed like storage box like the Rivian does, like something like the Honda truck does as well. But it's not big enough for a spare tire. In the Rivian, you can put a spare tire in the Tesla, you can't. So if you want to take a spare tire, you've literally just got to chuck that in the bed, and that's a bit rubbish.
And Tesla was talking about, I think I saw on their website, eventually having some bigger battery option that goes in the bed of the truck. But
yeah,
that seems more like a permanent installation. I don't see it as like a removable installation. It seems like it would be awfully heavy and complex to try to get it in and out. Like you'd have to, I mean, I don't know if it's something like two people could do, or you need a, you know,
a Bill Goldberg
of sorts. Yeah. You need a Goldberg to do it, to figure it out, or some sort of like a crane of sorts, like a cherry picker, like an engine puller or something to get it out of there. It's an interesting thought, but it was just kind of weird to me when it came out. Cause I was going, hey, you know what? It's a smart idea if you want to increase the range. But I was also thinking, it was like, yeah, but a lot of people that may want to increase the range are people that are going to go off road or take a weekend trip camping or something. And then what did you just do to the bed of it? Like if you're doing tents and making it as a sleeping area and camping out of the back, cause on the website, they're like, hey, check out the cool tents. And you're like, great. I wish I had 450 miles of range and all the cool tents. And then you go, well, if you put the battery in the back, you probably can't get much else in the back of the truck.
Well, you can't get your tent in.
You can't get your tent
in there. It is, because if you've not seen one of these things, it's like, you know, you can get an iPhone. I want mine here. You're like, you have your iPhone and you put those like external batteries, like stick them on the back.
Exactly.
It's that principle. It's basically like, but you're right. This thing is like big and heavy. I don't think it's like an iPhone case that you can just like stick on and off.
Well, if they were going to do something, why wouldn't, maybe this is something for the aftermarket when they start getting more into EVs, why wouldn't they make a battery that fit into like the frunk or into the storage space in the bed of the truck that you were talking about? You're saying maybe it's not quite as big as a spare tire, but would it do anything?
Yeah,
just doesn't add enough range. Maybe a battery of that size only adds 50 miles of range and it's not worth the whatever $10,000 or whatever it could cost. I can't imagine it'd be inexpensive.
No, maybe that's the thing, but you're right. It's what kind of solution, you know, what better solution? I mean, imagine that Tesla's tried to come up with the best solution that they can, and it'd be interesting to see whether they sell any of these or whether it just becomes, oh, there you go.
Right. So you're looking on the website.
You're watching on YouTube. So basically it turns the bed into like a,
like half of the bed,
a reasonable trunk.
Yeah. Listen, if you want a Tesla, but you want the bed of a Maverick, then this is what you get. You get it with the big battery, and you got the size of a Ford Maverick as far as storage.
And the other problem is like from a weight distribution, that's really heavy and that's really high. The beauty of the batteries is that they're always so low in EVs. Yeah, and you're also now bringing up a picture of the spare wheel, which is literally just dumped in the bed.
Now, you can't do both, apparently. You can't, if you're looking at the pictures on the website, you can't really do.
I don't know. If you put the battery in, you then put the tire in, then that basically that's it. You've got a full-size truck with no luggage capacity.
Maybe you could get the fancy tent in there somehow. I don't think you could. I mean, not with the tire or the battery.
Look, it's really easy to be cynical about this car. And there's a little bit of me that, at least at the moment, until they become more commonplace, and frankly, they'll only become more commonplace in LA for a while.
I'm glad overall that you guys like it. And I'm sure it's a great conversation piece as well. I'm sure everywhere you went, people wanted to talk about it and see it. And that could be kind of fun as well. If you want understated, then you're not getting a Cybertruck. But it's meant to be polarizing. And I can't wait to drive one. It seems like it would be fun to drive. And if it's as comfortable and as roomy as you say, I think that would be interesting to drive. As somebody who has a truck that I drive, I'm curious in the Cybertruck. I'm not necessarily sure it's for me, but I don't hate it. I just don't think it's for me, but I definitely want to drive it. See,
I think part of the problem, Matt, as well is at least at the moment, until it becomes more commonplace, like it is like being a celebrity.
Yeah.
That, you know, you turn up in it, everywhere you go in it, somebody wants to look at it, somebody wants to cut you up, people take pictures of you, people want to talk about it. And maybe if you're extrovert, that's part of the fun. Like, you cannot be introverted and buy this car.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to brace it. But that was also true of the Model 3 when it first came out. I remember driving early Model 3s and everybody was so excited about it because it seemed so different. And now they're, you know, especially if you live in California, they're everywhere. So it'll be interesting to see, like, where we are with the Cybertruck in 3 or 4 years' time. Like, how many they're building, how many they're selling, how commonplace are they? You know, what's the stainless steel looking like? There's a lot of question marks still,
yeah.
But it's better as a vehicle than I thought originally it was going to be. And I kind of like it despite myself, because I like eccentric things. And look, I think it's too big. If you live in LA, it's too big for me.
Yeah.
You know, having something that as wide as a Raptor is hard work, but then having, you know, having something that you can, having, you know, if you had it a little bit smaller, a bit, you know, the Rivian is much easier to live with as a truck than the Cybertruck is, but it's less exciting, less eccentric. So, I mean, if you just want like a good versatile all rounder, the Rivian's a nice thing. Obviously, the Lightning's a bit more of a working truck, but yeah, the Cybertruck at least works as family transport. And like, my kids loved it. My kids were so excited.
You know, I've got the Tesla, one of the Tesla facilities is right around the corner for me. It's like a quarter mile away. It's a half a mile away. And I pass it a couple times a day, every day when I come over here. And yeah, there's been a handful of them buzzing around that facility, pulling in and out of the place. And I don't know if it's what they're doing specifically. I'm sure it's just a lot of like ride-alongs, like people are showing up and they're like, let's go for a ride in this thing, because they're just kind of buzzing around the neighborhood and getting off the freeway here and back on the freeway. And I'm sure it's a lot of that, people going, hey, let's figure this out, or let's go for a ride, or check this out, or here's some features. And because it's not a dealer, it's like a service center or in some offices or something. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's a big Tesla building that's not a dealer. It's all gated up, can't get into it. But they're interesting to see. And I, like I said, I'm definitely interested in driving one. So I got to ask, when have you guys gotten any updates? Like, when does Edmunds get yours that you guys bought?
We don't know. I mean, sometimes with Tesla, sometimes you get a random email that says, oh, by the way, it's arriving in 2 days' time. That's happened to us before. We don't know.
I just read today that there's some more color options, and I didn't dig into it, but maybe there's more wrap options in color. So,
I'm not even sure how they're doing that. I saw a black one near me. There's a few that are starting to knock around my neighborhood. It looks quite cool in black. I don't know. We ordered the tri-motor partly because we figured, normally if you're building a launch edition, you know, the manufacturer goes all in and makes as much money as possible. So it's a dual motor that we drove, and we'll see. We're excited about it though, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how it ages.
So Tesla has they have their Stealth Black, and they have a satin white, and I'm trying
to, I don't fancy a white Cybertruck.
They're about $6,500.
And it's a wrap? It's a wrap or a...
I believe it's a wrap.
I mean, $6,000 is probably what you'd pay in the aftermarket, to be honest, if you wanted to, for something of that scale.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the move is to wrap your stainless steel, because...
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. It's like, you know, why not try to do a wrap? It's probably easier because you'd be able to... You know, you can always maintain it, and you can and change it later, or you know, redo a hood or something, and you know, sure it sticks as well onto that as anything else, probably better than paint would stick to stainless steel. I think they're saying satin rose gold, satin abyss blue, and what they call slip gray are going to be the three new colors that are joining the black and the white. And then, of course, the pure stainless. The new colors are $6,500. And then the black and the white are $6,000. And so, I believe they're all wraps.
I remember a story. It reminds me of a story that this was like, oh God, going back forever. But Audi brought out an aluminum bodied version of the A8.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal at the time. And then, oh, there you go. I just putting it in like a normal color, then maybe the white looks okay, actually, if it's a satin.
Yeah. I haven't seen the white. I've seen a black one around here. I haven't seen someone do the white yet. I'm sure I'm going to pass one at this Tesla facility.
I saw like someone's a pink one on Twitter that looked ridiculous. But go to this Audi anecdote. So they launched this aluminum car. And then Jaguar did the same thing with the XJ. And I was talking to somebody from Jaguar later, and the car looked a bit like, it was at an auto show, and everybody was like pouring over it. It looked like a dog's dinner after a couple of days. And they said to us, actually said, look, we went and talked to somebody at Audi and said, like, I don't understand. Like, you had an aluminum car and it looked great. And ours looked crap after like a few hours. He said, like, what happened? He said, well, we painted it. Just put a lacquer on it. It's like, oh, we didn't think of that.
Yeah, just got to do a clear coat on it. Then you can maintain it and polish it and clean it and wipe it down. Maybe that's the
way with your Cybertruck, or at least like a clear coat wrap something.
I mean, certainly part of the issue, I guess, like with DeLorean and everything back in the day, was trying to do stainless steel, is it's difficult to get paint to stick to it. So if you, and I'm sure, you know, the chemicals have changed over the years of someone's DeLorean tried it, but and I'm sure it would last a while. I just don't think you'd be able to get like a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty on paint, you know, of stainless steel. And if you just clear coat the stainless, without any primer, I just don't know how that works without some.
Maybe, Matt, what we need to do is get on a wrapper. By which I mean a not a musician. Then maybe we need to get somebody on who can, or maybe somebody's listening can actually talk to us about this, because it must be a challenge, right? How, because the DC properties are going to be different. So how's Tesla doing it, and how do you do it? And maybe we should do one. We wrapped our Model 3 back in the day as a stunt. Maybe we should do the same with the Cybertruck. Or maybe you could do like one of those Harlequin ones. You ever see that? Volkswagen did that, the Harlequin, where every panel was a different color.
Yeah. I feel like this is already being asked. Like, custom shops and stuff are getting asked this question.
Yeah.
Somebody's asking House of Color or some other paint company, going, I want to paint a Cybertruck. Like, what do we got to do here? Can I just clear coat it and protect it? Or can I change the color? Is there a good primer? How do you make it stick to stainless? I'm sure there's a solution for it. But in the meantime, we have really, really good wraps. Like, but if you think of a wrap when it came out years ago, it was like, it wasn't that great. And the clear bra, the PPF, you know, got a lot of orange peel. It's kind of weird, turned yellow pretty quickly, but now they're all pretty good stuff. You know, if you talk to somebody at Expel, I'm sure they have thoughts on how to properly wrap a Cybertruck and a DeLorean, I guess. You could get them to match.
Indeed.
All right, listen, I think we're kind of running out of time for this week. Is there anything else we need to touch on, or we can get it all next week?
No, but if you check out my Instagram and Edmund's, well, I'm at Weaver on Cars, as you hopefully know by now. Yeah, we're going to put some more pictures of the Cybertruck. Did some really cool stuff down by the beach. So, or Edmund's Cars Instagram, it's all over there as well. So
I'm looking forward to the photos and seeing more of, because all we've gotten so far is just some limited press photos. Like, even just scrolling through the Tesla's website, it's all pretty, and it's, everything's dark and black and stylistic, and half of it's probably, you know, computer generated anyway. So I'm sure the battery pack picture is computer generated, because that thing doesn't exist yet. But yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it and got a chance to test it and have some fun with it for more than, you know, 24 hours. And looking forward to getting the call when you guys get yours delivered.
So yeah, we'll let you come and have a go. I'm gonna film a TikTok if you're getting in the back.
I'm gonna get a running start. I got a little trampoline in the other room, and I'm gonna run and jump on that thing and dive into the back. because I don't know how else I'm going to get a little step ladder. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. You can, you know where we are on social media. We appreciate that. Check out Edmunds.com. You can read more all about the test that these guys did at the Edmunds website. So you can check all of that.
Edmunds.com/news.
There you go. All right. Thanks, buddy. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.